In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Thank you for joining us for the Word for Life broadcast. This is Pastor Wade Coolwind, administrative pastor of Brookside Baptist Church, and I'm here with Pastor Ken. And just want to share some of the things that are happening this week at Brookside. Of course, the Sunday services, don't miss the morning service at 9 and 10:15. We've been preaching through the book of 1 Corinthians, and the gospel changes everything.
It's not, you know, Pastor Wade, it's not a pretty epistle. I mean, it's pretty direct, but Paul loves that church deeply, and he just doesn't want to see them continue on. On a pathway that's going to have them lose their testimony and their effectiveness for the Lord.
Paul takes the position of a loving parent who sometimes has to say some hard things, but yeah. He does it for the benefit of his children.
Yeah. And what a great analogy there, because I'd have two words for my dad today, and he was a very strong disciplinarian. It would be thank you. Thank you.
Yes. And you know, it's interesting, and we're going to continue with these announcements, but you know, we can tell our level of maturity that when after we're rebuked and we realize that we needed it and it would help us, when we go to the one who rebukes us, takes the risk in doing that and say, thank you. I could tell you stories about my dad, too, in that respect. But at 6 o'clock, we'll be praising through the Psalms on Sunday. So join us. For all these services, regular services, Wednesday, we have a whole slate of opportunities of discipleship. We have classes for parents. We have one called Instruments in the Redeemer's Hand, about being an effective servant. And then we have also a marriage enrichment class as well. Again, these begin at 7 o'clock here at the church. And we don't want to forget Sunday for children, the Awana program at 5:45. But there's some other activities as well. We're looking forward to February 3rd on that night. That's Friday night is Kids Night Out. And kids are going to be dropped off from 6 until 8. Parents are going to come back around 8. And the children are going to have something special, something sweet for their parents during that time. So we just praise the Lord, Pastor Ken, for those who are working with our kids, not only instilling in them how to make sweet things, but how to be spiritually right with God and doing the will of God as children. And all these things are, of course, planned for you in mind to bring you closer to the Lord or to bring you into a relationship with Him.
And that really kind of sets us up with our study here in Joshua 15, where we found where we find ourselves now. Caleb, this great man of courage, his family had to see this. I mean, good qualities and unfortunately bad qualities can rub off on those that are closest to us. And Caleb's courage rubs off, and it becomes contagious to Othniel, and he's going to take Caleb's challenge about a section of land, and he's going to be victorious, and he is going to become Caleb's son-in-law, who later became the first judge in the land. Why don't you read verses 16 to 19 for us from chapter 15, Pastor Wade?
And Caleb said, "He who attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, as wife." So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as wife. Now it was so, when she came to him, that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, "What do you wish?" And she answered, "Give me a blessing, since you have given me land in the south. Give me also springs of water." So that he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs.
And you know, his boldness actually touched his daughter. She was bold too. For she had the faith to go ask her father for a field and then Then she needed the springs of water to irrigate the land, the upper and the lower. And the daughter's request was granted. And Caleb's example of faith was more valuable to his family than the property that he claimed for them. You know, we were talking, recently about Caleb. He had a tough hide. He could go out and conquer and do what was necessary, but he had a softness to in his heart.
He was tough at 85. He drives out these three children of Anak, 85 years old. And, you know, oftentimes we think if someone's that tough, that they're going to be mean and they're going to be selfish because he took this land. It was promised to him. And most people, if they earn that land, they're going to hold it with a tight fist and they're going to be selfish. But Caleb was a cut of man different from any other. As tough as he was also generous. Generous to the Lord. By faith, he conquered the land. By faith, he returned it back to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And even to his family.
He had a love not only for the Lord, he had a love for his family.
Mm-hmm.
And that never diminished. At age 40, he spied out the land. And one place in particular captured his heart. And it was not its fruit. It wasn't its milk, nor its honey that appealed to him. To this giant of faith, such material blessings were secondary. The name of the place he wanted was Hebron. That's what he wanted. It was situated on an old rugged mountaintop, and it was the place that Abraham had spoken to God. That word Hebron was a place of fellowship and communion with God. And I find it interesting, that was the place that Caleb cherished. That's the place where he said to Joshua, give me this mountain. We see also Caleb's obedience reaped God-honoring rewards. I mean, Judah's partial obedience brought tragedy. This whole chapter has been about the tribe of Judah. And not all the families went in and did exactly what they were supposed to do. Verse 63 tells us, as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. Right in the middle of their country was a stronghold maintained by this warlike tribe of the Jebusites. I mean, they ended up being like an ulcer, a cancer to the peace and success of the country. Judah allowed the Jebusites to remain with him. Did you get that preposition there? With them. With.
Mm-hmm.
We don't read that they lived here in spite of the Jebusites. They didn't even compel the Jebusites to be their water carriers or their woodcutters as Joshua had commanded the Gibeonites. It's a deliberate compromise with these people. And it would end up being a cancer that would infect Israel. I couldn't help but think, do we in our own lives today compromise and only partially obey the Lord? I mean, in our journey of faith, are we moving right along and then it happens? We run right into that friend, that temptation, a sin that we just have too much fun with, and we stop moving forward in our faith. And I'd say you need to be careful with Facebook, because that takes you back into the past with people, and then all of a sudden, someone that you had some infatuation with back in that day, it starts to develop again, so be very careful. And if someone confronts us about it, we usually have the excuse ready to roll. Well, I just couldn't break that situation or cut that relationship off from my life. It sounds well. It sounds good. Sounds like it's not going to hurt anything. But it can even give the impression, well, we tried to not let it happen. But what we're really saying is that God is to blame for this problem. I think Adam blamed God for Eve, if you remember,
mm-hmm.
This woman you gave me. The first time, back to the Jebusites, the first time the Jebusites that we find out about them is in 2 Samuel 5, verse 6. The Jebusites, well, I'm sorry, where we're going to find out what happened with the Jebusites, that happens in 2 Samuel, that's yet to come. The Jebusites are still living in Jerusalem, and David is ready to go in and conquer the Jebusites once and for all. And to their words to David, you shall not come in here, but the blind and the lame will repeal you. You're talking about David, a man of war. He took down Goliath, and the Jebusites have so much arrogance. They're saying, our blind and our lame will defeat you.
You know, it's amazing, too. You mentioned that scripture says that the people lived with the Jebusites. And I just think of the application of that. So many believers make peace with their flesh. Mm-hmm. And they stop fighting these areas where they are defeated, and they try to make sort of peace with it. They make an excuse for it. They try to keep it in a box. They entertain it. They don't drive it out. Yeah. And consequently, they're defeated.
Yeah.
They're constantly defeated.
We're good at rationalizing.
Exactly.
Well, these Jebusites were saying to David, you might be able to win your battles in the valley, and you might be able to take down the giant of the Philistines, but not here, buddy. It's ours. In essence, they're telling David, you are way too weak to come in and take us. It's not going to happen. It reminds me of what Sanballat and Tobiah and some of them were saying to Nehemiah as they're building the wall. Hey, if a fox jumps on that, it'll knock it over.
Mm-hmm.
How many times does the enemy want to intimidate us? We get fearful, we get discouraged, and that leads to this hopelessness and defeat. Let me take you back to that one phrase, delayed obedience is disobedience. Friends, it is so easy to get intimidated. You know, you watch all these sporting events and you see someone's always trying to get an up on someone else because they're trying to intimidate them. For years, Pastor Wade, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I coached basketball and I was coaching out in Denver. And we had, I was at a school and we were playing another pretty large Christian school, and they said, hey, we've never beaten this team before. I went, okay. Well, we get out there, and I mean, the gym is packed, and it's loud, and the music's blaring, and the team we're playing against, they all come out with their heads shaved and with headbands. They look like the Caucasian, Globetrotters or something, And they had one fellow on their team, and man, he was intimidating our guys, and he was imitating them, too. Mm-hmm. We were fearful of him. And we were down by about 15 points, and I'm thinking, oh, man, what are we going to do? And so as we were going into halftime, I told one of the guys at the end of the bench, I said, hey, pass the word to our guys. If number 44 touches the ball, let him shoot. And I thought, well, we'll see if intimidation can go two ways. And as soon as we got out on the court, boy, that guy was dribbling the ball through his legs, just looking a hole right through me. And came over and goes, Coach, we're going to pour it on you even more. And I said, yeah, you guys are doing a good job. But as soon as the second half started, Kathy was on my case. She said, if that young man touched it once in the forecourt to his bucket, she said, every time he touched it, the whole gym heard, let him shoot. And the intimidation went both ways. He would shoot and miss, shoot and miss, shoot and miss. Finally got so mad, got a technical, he got removed from the game, and we ended up winning by 15 points. I went over to my wife. I go, hey, how about a victory hug right now, honey? She goes, are you proud of yourself? And I said, honey, didn't you see that intimidation going on? Well, I'm not saying that was the right thing to do, and that was probably the days of my flesh of athletics. But you see these Jebusites intimidating David, saying, you can't come in here. You can't take us. Well, friends, I hope there's nothing intimidating you today, but that you will live victorious for the Lord. And we'll give him the glory.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.